Hi, guys. Coming up today on Sports Spectrum, we have the return of my friend Brock Huard from Fox Sports, longtime broadcaster. He used to work at ESPN as well for about a decade there. He covers college football for Fox Sports. So if you're watching college football this weekend on Fox, you might find one of the games that Brock Huard will be calling. He's also the co-host of Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN in Seattle on the morning show there, 6 to 10 a.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. He's the host of the Above and Beyond podcast, which is a similar podcast to Sports Spectrum. It's the intersection of faith and sports. Brock played in the NFL for a few years with the Seahawks and the Colts. He was backing up Peyton Manning. He played for Tony Dungy. I'm telling you all this because this conversation, you know, I had a few topics to get to, but this was about as fluid and reactive of a conversation that I've ever had on Sports Spectrum, where there wasn't a lot of questions that I was just asking and he was answering. This was just going back and forth and reacting to each other in a really neat way on a bunch of different topics. You know, being a light in the world, we talked a lot about relationships and the importance of relationships. We talked about foul language in sports and how do we carry ourselves as Christians in that vein. We also talked about Coach Dungy, who he played for, Tony Dungy, and we talked about the Netflix documentary on quarterbacks, particularly Kirk Cousins, who's on the cover of our Sports Spectrum magazine. So that's Brock Huard. It's coming up in a second. That Sports Spectrum magazine I just mentioned, you can get 15% off that magazine, exclusive to podcast listeners, if you use the code PODCAST15 when you subscribe to Sports Spectrum's magazine. It's a quarterly magazine. It's perfect for the kiddos. You do not have to worry about foul language in our magazine. We keep it clean, content, perfect, sports, and faith relevant. You can order the Sports Spectrum magazine right now at sportspectrum.com. Put in that code PODCAST15 and save 15% off a one-year subscription to the best thing we do here at Sports Spectrum, the Sports Spectrum magazine. Subscribe today at sportspectrum.com. Also want to say thanks to our partners, Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. I know Brock Huard loves Compassion, and so do we. I got to go on a trip with Compassion late last year in 2022, changed my life, helped me see the great work that they are doing on the ground, helping release children from poverty in Jesus' name. You can learn more by going to compassion.com/sportspectrum, compassion.com/sportspectrum, and pray about sponsoring a child today. Great to welcome back to Sports Spectrum our friend Brock Huard from Fox Sports, and you hear him and watch him on college football games on the weekends, on Saturdays, and of course he also is a voice in the Seattle, Washington area doing Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN every morning. Welcome back, buddy. It's good to see you.
Yeah, I think this is now, what, our third rendezvous. I think the first time, if my memory serves me right, was there at the hotel across from ESPN.
2017, that was, 6 years ago. Yeah,
was it? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and you had a different recording mechanism, and I really loved your microphone you had at that time. And yes, and you came to the hotel, and we knocked it out. And then you were kind enough to reciprocate on my Above and Beyond podcast, and you came on with me. Mm-hmm. That was just a couple years ago, and now third time is going to be the charm.
Yeah,
this is going to be it.
Like, it's good.
Yeah, this one's going to be off the charts. I just feel it.
I'm so pumped. No, and you know what? Obviously, people will remember your voice because we've had you do parts of Sports Spectrum broadcasts and podcasts and some of the stuff that we did a couple years ago during the NFL season. So it's a familiar voice, which is good. But I didn't realize this until I went and looked at it. Really was December of 2017 when you were last on the podcast. So it's been a while and a lot has changed. Even your son, you talked about before we started recording that he grew like 5 inches in the past few months, and now he's like this 6'2" string bean. So a lot's changed, Brock.
Yeah, you know, I was at a lunch today with a neat guy, FCA guy in Colorado. I broadcast back home to Seattle, home, my old home. We make home now in the Rocky Mountains.
Yep.
And we were just kind of, you know, chatting this morning and talking about change and growth and development. And I said, yeah, man, Titus is almost 6'2". He's like, What?
How
And
old
I'm
is he?
like, yeah.
13?
Yeah, exactly. Time doesn't stand still. He's 13, and
Yeah.
we've got two that have left the nest. You and I have, some parallel paths. That's what I was telling my buddy at lunch today. I said, yeah, I'm gonna chat with Jason today. I can't wait to do this after we leave. And actually, his prayer, no joke, at lunch today, he prayed over lunch, and his prayer were two things that I had shot to you earlier in the week when we talked about, hey, let's get together. You have anything on your heart? And literally two of the things was light and darkness and leadership. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is just amazing that your prayer was exactly what I'm going to chat with my buddy Jason about
Yeah.
in a couple hours. And on top of it, Jason, as I was telling him your story a little bit, in our story, I believe your first podcast came out 1 week before the Above and Beyond Faith and Sports podcast that was put on my heart.
Yes.
Ultimately you took a huge leap and left something of a couple decades to start it. And
Yeah.
of all people, Matt Hasselbeck's like, dude, you know this Jason Romano guy? If you talk to Jason Romano, because he's doing this Faith and Sports podcast too. Like, yeah, you got to connect with Jason Romano.
Yes.
So that was probably, what was that? When did you start
It was
those?
March 31st, 2017. I looked it up though. Yours was
Yes.
April 13th, 2017.
Yeah,
So,
so.
well, within 2 week period, we both started Faith and Sports podcast. Let's start there because where are we today in the intersection of sports and faith? Because I would have thought with your show, with our show, that there would be more people jumping on this bandwagon, if you want to call it that, of understanding that faith and sports can really coexist and intersect. And there's still not a ton of
Yeah.
shows out there that are doing what your show and our show does.
Yeah, I think people look at your show like, I can't do that. So, I'm not even going to try to compete.
Well,
I think that's the bottom
I hope
line.
not. Come on.
This is fun. Every week to see these new episodes that you put out and so many friends and peers in the sports industry, the media industry. It's neat to see. And it does speak to there is a need for this and there is an awesome platform. And you do it on a full-time basis. I'll try to do about, I don't know, 6 to 10 episodes a year over
Sure.
the years. And like you, I'm sure that you could say, oh man, oh, this was God said, oh, this was totally right. I mean, that's the essence of ministry and living a Christ-filled life is just it twists and turns. You go, wow, that was totally a divine appointment, man. That was totally the Lord's doing. And super, super thankful that some 6, 7 years later, you're still rocking it week to week and we can get back together again.
Yeah, well, you've got some shows recently that I've been listening to. I know you had David Pollack come out. You had Sage Steele, our former colleague at ESPN, and Joe Klatt, who you can watch on college football as well on Saturdays on Fox Sports. Like, you've had some really interesting interviews. I think the landscape today, from 6 years ago to now, like when your show launched, when my show launched, is at a better place. I know what we could say our country's more messed up than it was 6, 7 years ago, or more divided, or whatever. But I feel like we're turning a corner. I mentioned this at the Super Bowl earlier this year about how I could just start to see things, little things creeping into the lexicon of society as far as faith goes. With remember the He Gets Us commercials that were at the Super Bowl? You saw the Jesus Revolution movie, you see The Chosen
Yes.
that's out, you saw it's just, I think, more openness to conversations about things of faith. And then now you enter the sports world where you and I live in. I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like we're at a better place, but I don't know if we're where we need to be yet. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I don't think the darkness is going anywhere, right?
That's
I mean,
true.
I
Yes.
don't think that's happening, but if we can be light, that light can shine. And gosh, I haven't gone back and listened to our episode from 2017, but as you and I are sitting here, I do think I remember telling you both your heart for this project and my heart for that project was just authenticity.
Yeah.
That even then in 2017, people were seeking authenticity. I need something in this crazy world, this crazy culture, this crazy darkness. I need something authentic, right? I crave for that. I want that. I want that vulnerability and that transparency and that honesty and that authenticity, which is so lacking many times in our mainstream culture,
Yeah.
which I think, as you said, is why, these platforms of authentic testimony and transparent faith need to continue to shine.
What is it like to be light in the darkness for you now? Because you are a public figure, a voice that's seen and heard on Fox Sports. So if you're watching college football this weekend, hey, there's Brock Heward calling a game. If you're in Seattle and you're listening to morning sports radio, oh, there's Brock Heward talking about the Mariners or the Seahawks and either a great loss or a terrible loss or a great win or whatever. And so you're kind of, you're in that world too. What's it look like for you to kind of teeter in the worldly side of the sports area that you and I both have lived in for many years, but also to kind of try and be, you know, salt and light in a dark place?
Yeah, it's different at 47, closer to 50 than I am 40.
Yeah, I know that.
and I definitely feel that, like the travels of the season, the energy, the end of day, just trying to fight grumpiness, tiredness, and ready to go to bed. It is a little different, but I think with that also, if I think back to my early years, so when I started like 15 years ago, especially in radio, in that medium and that building and that culture was, man, it was very, very counter to my beliefs and my ideologies. And
sure.
I think at that time, things were very personal. It was just, it was like, man, I gotta win this personal battle. I gotta win this personal fight. And I gotta convince. And, you know, it was almost a me against them, a me against them and conquering them and get them to see my view versus I think over time and maybe just with some wisdom and certainly with some age of relationship and many of them going back 15 years is that you have, I'll come back to that word, you got to be authentic, man.
Yes.
You've got to be, you know, can the Lord use one word you say to bring somebody to the kingdom? Absolutely. But more than likely, they're going to see, as you saw with Tony Dungy when you were around him, as I saw with Coach Tony Dungy when I was around him for 2 years as a player for him, they're going to see your walk. They're going to see your consistency. They're going to see when it gets hard. They're going to see, okay, what is this really all about? And yeah, I think that's probably some, Jason, of the maturation over 15 years. It really is. You know, you do learn this in life as you age. It is about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear that in your 20s and you're like, yeah. Yeah, I got to go. You know, I'm going to grind. Yeah, I know. I relationships work, but I got to grind. And in your 30s, you probably still have a bit of that. I think as you get, and certainly for me, as I get older, that just wisdom of relationships probably resonates much, much more.
You played 2 years for Coach Dungy. Is that right?
2 years.
Just talk about Coach Dungy. I mean, I know we might have done this in the last podcast. I don't care. That's 6 years ago. But
sure.
I love being around him. I've gotten the privilege to know him and spend time. I saw him 3 times this year already earlier in the year. And just, you talk about authentic, but real, like he is the same guy on and off the air. He's gentle. He's kind. He's compassionate with people. He's patient with people. But what was he like as a coach? Same way?
Yeah. Let's say love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control.
What is that? Is that from the Bible, Brock?
Yeah,
I don't know.
you're bearing a lot of those fruits as a guy with a lot of wisdom over the course of his lifetime, Jason. And, you know, we were chatting a little bit off the air about watching some of these documentaries and these docu-series that have been done and the really cool one on Kirk Cousins and Mahomes and Mariota, the QB one on Netflix. And
so good.
And watching Hard Knocks, you know, through training camp and everything else. And I was just so reminded how refreshing it was. And I say this to my son's high school football coaches, and I get a chance to jump in and help assistant coach on their teams. And I love to say to them, like, listen, I watched it at the highest level. I watched Coach Dungy lead an NFL team. And in 2 years, Jason, 2 years, he never swore.
Wow.
And it wasn't on the verge of it. And it wasn't have to make up words like bull crap or, you know, these other words that we hear. That rage and that anger and that just, that was not a battle that he fought. I mean, it was just pretty darn pure inside and out. In fact, he raised his voice twice. I mean, there were just two occasions in 2 years that you could hear his voice really rage. And that was when guys fought on our own team.
Hmm.
Like it was the most selfish act and the most like defeating in his realm and his culture build of like, why would you ever want to fight your teammate?
Yeah.
And those are the only two times. And so it's a reminder that as I'm coaching, it's a reminder to youth coaches out there. It's a reminder to players that just because that vocabulary is pervasive, You don't have to fall to the lowest common denominator. You can rise to the highest numerator. And Tony was certainly a reflection of that.
Yeah, it's been on my heart a lot watching athletes. Heck, even athletes who I know have professed a faith in Christ. So I'm not here to judge anybody ever. But my goodness, if you're just going MF-er and the F-word's coming out like it's nobody's business and you're not even thinking and you're just cursing. I mean, this is coaches, players, broadcast, whoever. I don't know, man. That rubs me a little bit the wrong way.
Yeah. I don't know if I shared this story 6 years ago either.
Okay.
But if I did, you and I won't remember it anyway.
That's fine. I'm sure nobody heard that conversation. It's listening.
We had a teammate and I won't say his name, but I loved him. And we called him Little Peter, man. He was Peter. He was right. He was going to say it. Just like Peter, the New Testament.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Oh no, I'll walk on water. No, I'm the one. No, I'm not going to fail you three times. I would never, like, you know, and he definitely was Little Peter, and bless his heart, man. We had back in that era, last century, in the late 90s, early 2000s, you'll remember the WWJD bracelets.
Sure. What would Jesus do? They're still around, by the way. I know a few people wearing them. How about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
But that time, they were really popular.
Yes.
And guys were wearing them. And little, I could just see this clear as day, man. The receivers were kind of lined up and quarterbacks and some other skill players. And he, you know, this receiver's wearing one of the bracelets and he's just like, it's not pure, man. It's just foul.
Every word.
And little Peter, like, just walked right up to him, and he was one of the littler guys. He walked up to him and he's just like, hey, man. And because he walked the walk, you could immediately, that player wearing that bracelet felt a level of conviction. Like, he knew right away, like, ooh. Yeah. And Todd's like, oh, I'm just wondering about your bracelet. You know, I said his name. There you go. So now he at least saw the first name. I'm just wondering about your bracelet. You know, what's up with that? And you know, that it was just one of those super humbling, convicting moments. And, you know, that player's like, I know it's bad. I know I shouldn't talk that way. It's on me. I got to be better. By I hear you. And he wasn't mad about the confrontation. And little Peter went about his solidly as you could, you know, wasn't condemning him, didn't rip him, didn't, who are you? You know, you hypocrite. He's just like, come on, man. Like, you're a reflection. You're wearing that bracelet. You are a reflection of all of us.
Yeah.
You know, you come into Bible study, you're a reflection of us. You know, you got to guard your tongue, man. Guard your mouth.
So how do we do that? I mean, let's just play, you know, the role of, okay, not all of us are on a football field, in an intense place where, you know, we can let things slip out. We'll just say it that way. Some guys might say, oh, I just let it slip out because I can't control my tongue when I'm playing. It's too intense. But in life, like, just in general, when you're at a church setting or you got a brother that you love and you know they're walking with Christ, and I do not believe, let me put this on the record, that if you curse, you are not a Christian. I don't believe that. I believe it's what's in your heart. If you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I believe that you're saved. But out of that, like you talked about the fruit, should come some evidence of that. And I believe language is a part of that. How do you approach someone, Brock, when you're with them and you love them, very similar to what little Peter did there, you know, hey, what's up with that bracelet? And be accountable to the person and help them to live a better life for Christ, we'll say, but not be judgmental or condescending or that guy who just gets in their face and says what they want to say and actually might push them away in their walk. How do you do that?
Well, I think that's twofold. I don't think there's a book written or a very clear answer for that, nor is there just one way to do it. But my mind goes to kind of two different places through life experience, counsel, relationships, trying to surround myself with men much wiser than me. But I think two things. I think number one, you got to understand your audience, believer or non-believer.
Yeah.
Right. I think that there's an important distinction there, just as there was for Jesus, as, you know, he talked to his disciples and those that followed him at times in a tone and tenor that was different than the totally lost and the total unbeliever, right? That was living in that darkness, that hadn't had that conviction, that hadn't made that public commitment. So I do think that there's probably, not probably, I think that there's a line to draw on and discern there. Secondly, it goes back to what I said to you earlier of relationship. Right. If you don't have that relationship, if you haven't poured into them, right, then you better be real careful coming down in condemnation first,
yes,
right? And
yeah.
that old kind of coaching mantra, right? That you love and you praise in public, and maybe you confront and you teach in private. That takes enough relationship to be able to do that and to have some of those roots. I will say this, if you've got that friend out there, if you've got that teammate, if you've got that coaching peer, if you're listening to this right now and that has been on your heart, like a conviction, like either for yourself or for one of your peers that is walking and is a believer, you also can't be afraid to reach out. Can't be afraid to at times hold accountable. You can't be afraid to, if that's really, you feel like the Lord put that on your heart and you know that. And I'm sure you've had experiences in your own life, Jason.
Well, yeah.
And I have too, where it's like, hey, man, come on, you know, like, come on.
Yeah.
And at times I'll even use, this is a little more in the work environment, but I'll say permission to speak freely.
Yeah.
You know,
and let them make the decision if they want to hear it or not.
Hey, permission to speak freely here. I got something on my heart, got something I want to share, but I don't want to, you know, if you're not in a place to receive it or, you know, and it's amazing how I've probably done that. That's a little more of a secular, you know, analyst to coach or, you know, peer to peer in the broadcast world or broadcast partners or bosses even.
Yeah.
You know, I think about a half dozen times in my life, I've said, hey, you know, if we're going to get to the nitty gritty and we're going to get to something and not just put on a face, permission to speak freely. And it's amazing what that does to just kind of, of course.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even have to ask me that? Okay. Here goes.
Yeah.
Your mouth's a mess. You know, your temper is out of control. Your rage is, you know, that's not of him. So yeah. Permission to speak freely. Those four words have at times been fairly handy too.
That's really good. I think especially as you're talking to people or working with people who might believe differently, like you said, or aren't Christians, as followers of Christ, we know, and the Bible is very clear on this all over the New Testament, that we can't expect the world to act like believers. We can't. My question or my concern is with those who are professing a faith that are out there. My Christian faith is this. I love Jesus, this and that. And then you watch them and it's like, yep, mother effer this, and there's no fruit coming from that at all. And that's most concerning to me, Brock. I don't expect anybody who's not a follower of Christ to live that way. I didn't live that way for 27 years, you know, but
yes,
something should change in your heart if you're fully putting your faith in Jesus.
Yeah, there should be that that third arm of it, right? The Father, Son, and the Spirit, and that,
yes,
Spirit should be the one that is just working there. That when you do lose it and you do blow it, and when you fail as a father and you fail as a husband and you fail in your job and you fail and you fall short, as we all do, right, repeatedly, that there should be that conviction coming in going, yeah, I messed that one up. I got to repent and I got to straighten this out. And, you know, when these guys are in a public forum, and I, you know, sometimes don't envy you at all, Jason, you know, like, you know, I really just full transparency, like, man, you know, my brother Jason is out there and he's leading this and he's doing an amazing job. And this Sports Spectrum ministry has been awesome. And these podcasts are awesome. And I know he wants to bring those that glorify God and bring those to light. And then those that sometimes will just use those words and they're just words and there's not relationship,
yeah,
you know, and I'm not even talking you with that particular player. I'm talking that player, most importantly,
sure,
with his Savior. Right. And just, you know, to say those hollow words without having that conviction and that relationship, which is really what it is all about.
Yeah. I think it's the hardest part of my job is, if you want to call it that, discerning who to have, yes, on the show. And I have had people provide feedback, whether it's through email or tweets or whatever, DM, saying, hey, the person you had on, are you sure, yep, about this person? Because I've, right, seen this. And I'm like, listen, you're right. I can't 100% predict that every person we're going to have on is going to be the perfect Christian. I can't. All I can do is go on what I know, what people have suggested, and what they say in our conversation. And, yep, what they do outside of that, I can't control. And so, yep, can I control the stories that we write about certain athletes based upon what we've seen? Sure. But interviews on this show specifically, or particularly, yes, I can't control that. All I can, yeah, do is I can tell you when I talk to them, they seem to be pretty on fire for Christ. And that's a hard part of any of this when you do it in a public setting.
No question. I think there's probably a ton of paraministries that are right there nodding along with you as they hear that, right? As they try to find spokespeople and platforms and speakers and everything else. Now, I will say the guy that's over your left shoulder right there, the cover boy.
Kirk Cousins.
Now, if we want to spend time on those that fall short, maybe in some of the docuseries and otherwise, how about Kirk, man?
Wow.
And how awesome was he and his family?
I was so impressed watching that Netflix documentary on him. So impressed.
I told some of my friends, I don't know from like a Q rating standpoint. Gosh, it's been a while since I think somebody just because why? Because he was so genuine.
Authentic. There it is again.
He was so authentic. Yep. He was so relationship with his wife and his kids and his dad and his teammates. And he was so okay with being counter to everything cool
right.
in culture. You know, yep. I could wear my Kohl's shirt.
That was funny.
Dress shirt, right? I had my wife dress me. I could just, you know, I could be comfortable, totally comfortable in my own skin and what I am. And what I'm not, and where I've had success, and where I've had failure, and where I've been on peaks, and I've been on mountaintops, and I've been in valleys, and I've been through failures. Gosh, it was just, that was neat. And we could focus on, you know, certainly the failures and falling short, but we also need to celebrate when those really do reflect Christ in such an aroma that is so different than the world that they live in.
Well, that stems into the conversation you mentioned about leadership, right? I mean, we talked about Coach Dungy, but that position of quarterback, that's why I love the documentary, because there were so many leadership lessons just watching it between both Patrick Mahomes, you know, and the all-time great player that he is, and Kirk Cousins, and I think the gritty, tough leader, and they showed with all the injuries and him fighting through it and pushing through and the respect that he had from his teammates and even Marcus Mariota going through what he went through. There were so many great leadership lessons. But to me, watching Kirk, you know, specifically and how everything that you just described, nobody questioned how much he was dedicated to being a football player, though. Although all these other things are there, nobody questioned. When you watch that, you know this guy cares genuinely, even if it's not his identity, which is a whole other conversation. You watch him, you don't question his toughness, his leadership, the intentionality about serving his teammates and being there for them. The times that he got up in that Buffalo game and he is just hurting and hurting and hurting. Yes. And yet he continues to go out there. Yeah. The mic'd up moments where he's just in so much pain. But yet he didn't let any of that stuff affect who he is in Christ. That's what impressed me the most. Like, there was the integrity and the love for his players, his teammates, his coaches. I just loved it. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, so did I. And I would echo all of that. And as you were talking, I was thinking about not only the Tony Dungy's, other, you know, good Christian men that have been tremendous leaders. And you've written a book about it, and you've been around them, and you've been impacted by them. And some of them, I think, still you would call almost mentors to this day, of the impact and the effect they had on you.
Yes.
I think it is very hard. And I've, in the secular realm, I use this as far as like competitiveness, right? I hear people all the, oh, I'm so competitive. Oh, I'm the most competitive person.
Fierce. You're fierce, Brock.
Oh yeah. You know, I lose control of my mouth. I'm just so competitive. I'm so competitive. You want me to meet a better and more competitive. I'm like, oh, competitive is so tired. I'm so tired of that. Good. And I think what I have found truly is you want a really competitive person. You want maybe the most competitive people I know on that maybe secular level, on top of the Christian leadership level, they have one attribute that to me cuts through, and that's discipline.
Mm.
And when I think of some of the most competitive people that and greatest, you know, competitors that I played with, that I played against, that I've watched, that I've covered for the last 20 years, I don't care about you telling me you're competitive. I don't even care about you on game day cutting it loose and letting it rip and playing free and doing all this stuff. I want to know how disciplined you are, how disciplined you are on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, how disciplined you are, right? And I think for those of us, I will certainly say this for my own self and my own walk with the Lord and my own leadership in my home and with others in my work, man, when there is just discipline and there's time in the Word and there's time in prayer and there's time in worship and there's a commitment to the church community and there's just the discipline And man, I thought more than any other attribute with Kirk, that's what resonated. That, you know what, on this off day, I'm going to have the discipline for these hours. I am not picking up my phone. I'm not looking at football. I am there with my wife, right? They are just set aside. And Tony was the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Dungy was just a machine in that way. And at times it was almost like, is he even human? Like, it is just the same. It's the same guy all the time.
Yeah.
But I think he too would tell you that that discipline, it's not natural. It's not in our culture. It's not in our flesh, right? It's not a gifting that comes without a whole lot of work, accountability, mentors, all the other attributes around it. But man, discipline, I think at 47 resonates with me a whole lot more than it certainly did in my younger years.
It does for me too. I'll say a couple things here. First of all, shameless plug, Kirk Cousins on the cover of the current edition of Sports Spectrum magazine. If you want to go deeper into his faith story that wasn't portrayed on a Netflix documentary, please subscribe to Sports Spectrum's magazine at sportspectrum.com. It's an amazing story. We were given access to Kirk that we didn't expect, if I'm being honest, at Sports Spectrum. So he was amazing in giving us some access and really taking us deeper into his faith. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say, the discipline that you are alluding to was on display with Kirk. It was also on display with Mahomes, and it was on display with Mariota. I mean, that's just the quarterback position. Yep. Just a disclaimer here. If you're listening and you haven't watched the Netflix documentary yet, I highly suggest you watch it, but there is a lot of language in it, in certain aspects of it. So just keep that in mind if you're watching it with the kiddos. That's the second thing. The third thing, and this is where I want to get your thoughts, Brock. The most disciplined part of Kirk Cousins to me was at the very end of the documentary. He had just lost in the playoffs to the New York Giants. And I can't imagine being around a professional athlete in the finality of losing in the playoffs and knowing that your season is done. And Netflix did an amazing job with NFL Films to follow Kirk in the car on the way home. And he's talking to his wife, like you and I are just coming home from church or something. And he's talking about some things, and his wife is mentioning, you know, oh, it's garbage day the next day. Like, they're just kind of going through the normal things that every husband and wife go through. But Kirk comes home, he sees his kids, and his wife could have easily said, don't bother daddy right now. He just lost in, you know, a playoff game. It's horrible.
Yeah.
He says, nope. And he goes, and I think his son's name is Cooper. I could be wrong, but one of his sons he grabs, and they go, and he goes into the discipline of being a dad.
Yep.
And putting his kid to bed.
Reading with him.
Reading the Bible. Him. Praying. Yes. Singing the hymns. And I was so impressed by that more than anything else because of the moment. Right? You can say, oh, this is great. It's October. It's November. I'll put my kid to bed and we'll follow that. But this was the night, hours after he just lost at home in a really tough game to the New York Giants, where he was criticized, as we all know, if you watch any of the shows the next day, for his playing. And yet it all went away because he said, I'm disciplined as a dad too, and I'm going to put my kid to bed like I normally do. I don't know, man. Yep. That stood out to me.
And I know what defines me, right? Yes. With that discipline often comes like, just definition of who you are and what your identity is. And very, very clearly his identity is not being an NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that was somewhat telling. Again, not to sit in a phase of judgment, but as you compare and contrast the lives on that show, and if you did it with all 32 starting quarterbacks and their families and their homes and their parents and their backgrounds and everything else, it is, you see, and you've seen it in your lifetime, and you saw it at ESPN for decades, Jason, whether it was the broadcasters and in the media or the producers, even within their own jobs, how that just became the identifier of all they were. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with athletes as well. And it takes a tremendous amount of discipline at that level of stardom, of fame, of revenue, of attention, of all of it, to continue to identify first and foremost as a Christ follower. Secondly, as a husband and as a dad. And to do that is, it's pretty special. And I'm glad maybe we started on the cursing part of it and we get to end on the celebration of, no, it can be done.
Yes.
Right? It can be done.
Yeah.
It takes a whole lot of work and a whole lot of supporting cast and a whole lot of selflessness and service and all the other attributes and, well, maybe the fruits of the spirit too. But man, when you get to that level of discipline, pretty neat to celebrate and cherish.
Yeah, and we should be obviously mindful in saying this that nobody's perfect and everybody's going to make mistakes. I remember asking Kirk about praying during a game and, you know, letting, you know, foul language come out of his mouth. And he's like, hey, I let a couple out every so often too, but yep. It's discipline, like you said. So, yeah, I hope people, as they watch it, remember that specifically with Kirk Cousins. He is Brock Heward, and he's joining us here on Sports Spectrum from Fox Sports. One of the questions I had on my notes here, I just thought it would be interesting to kind of take us into for a few more minutes, is as believers, not in general, but as believers, do we take sports too seriously, Brock? I'm talking about the believer that's a sports fan. Yes. Because that I'm living in this right now with my teams, and I watch the games, and I'm just as intense. I don't let it get to me as much as I did when I was in my teens and 20s. But I feel like there's still some moments where I feel like, man, I take this way too seriously. And you're living in it, by the way, as a radio host, and you're doing games. Yeah. So, you know, in general, we probably all take sports too seriously. But how about for us as believers?
Yeah, I think what you're feeling is your wife over your shoulder, just like I'm feeling my wife.
Oh, there she is right
shoulder.
There. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Well, mine's right out there. She's listening to this like, that's right. Oh, how is he going to be honest about this? How's he going to answer this one?
Yes, you know? 100%.
And I like to say, Jason, and there is some truth to be told, like in our Pacific Northwest market that I've done radio in for 15 years, that many of our listeners are totally tied to the success of the team. Now, in the Northeast, they don't care. And in Detroit, they don't care. In Chicago, they don't care. You win or lose, they want to talk about it. They want to let it all out. In the Pacific Northwest, you know, teams don't do well, we don't listen. We just tune out, and we'll go hiking and canoeing and go be with nature. And we're not into sports.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like to use that as a crutch and excuse when my wife is like, why are you shaking right now? Like, why are you visibly that worried about the marriage? Like, Molly, you don't understand. Like the ratings follow the success of this team. You know, I've seen it for 15 years. Yep. Well, who cares? Yep. Is your life defined by your ratings? Yeah, I'm not I'm emotional. Like, that's also what I am. I'm not Tony Dungy. I cannot be totally stoic. I can't just sit there, and that's just not my God-given wiring and makeup. Watch me coach my son. Watch me cheer on my daughters. Like, I gotta also be, you know, the way God made me, which is passionate, you know, sure, like my father in that regard. But it can absolutely, just like our jobs, just like so many of those things we just got done talking about, our identity, it absolutely can be a tool of the enemy. Like, oh yeah, man, you got your hooks here, man. Look at spend all your time. Where's your reading? Where's your heart? Where's your passion? Where, you know, and I think we have. And if we are honest, oftentimes gotta look in the mirror and go, okay, what place is this really playing in my life? Mm-hmm. And how much of a hold does it have?
Yeah.
And can I let this thing go? And can I not turn the game on? And can I get away and actually be with the ones that are most important? Yeah, I think we gotta have some checks and balances for sure.
Does it help that you're on a Saturday broadcasting a game? A lot of times it's not the University of Washington, your alma mater. So you're not getting too caught up? Because I would imagine if Washington's playing and you're available to watch the game and not be broadcasting, you're going to watch it, I have to imagine.
Yeah, that one actually, the college is probably the easiest for me because I've got to be a professional, you know, like, and people do ask me that. And last year I got to do the Oregon Washington game, which was an amazing game.
Yes.
And to be frank, that's the most hated rival right now, even more than Washington State back in, like, the Ducks have turned it, and you know, they have dominated so much of that series, and they have been obnoxious at times. Not all Ducks, but some Ducks have been fairly obnoxious, and there's some history with my older brother, and so there's a lot of that. But even during that game, as I'm calling that game, I'm like, this is just such a great game. I'm just seriously, like,
that's people good.
Ask, oh, were you rooting for that? You root? I'm not rooting. And if anything, I probably have to, like, turn my bias the other way and make sure that I don't have a root. I'm just celebrating these guys playing. So collegiately is probably the least emotional hooks. As I said, the radio station and the flagship for the Seahawks and Mariners probably have me emotionally at times a little bit more than they should.
Yeah, if you just go on Brock's Twitter page or X page or whatever you want to call it, you can see that he shares his thoughts and opinions and passions, we'll say, on those particular teams that play professionally in the Seattle, Washington area.
Yeah. But you and your Cowboys, I hear you too, Romano. Okay. I know you, In the Mets, they're a disaster. I know
So I'll
you.
say this, Brock. Let me tell you about my sports fandom. So there was a moment that
Yes.
took place about 5 years ago that, you know, and you forget, I was a sports fan first before I was ever a broadcaster or a media guy, before I have
Yep.
any relationships with athletes and coaches. I was just a kid who loved sports. I'm sure you're that way too. So I'm watching the New York Mets play. This is probably 2017 or so, 2018. And like the New York Mets have done for 37 years, they were not in the playoff hunt or lost a big game of some sort. And I just got so upset that I posted on Twitter, like, I'm tired of this team. I can't believe they can't score runs. I can't believe they're losing again, something like that.
Yes.
Just a vent somewhere. And I had
Yes.
forgotten that there were players on that team and a particular coach who I had known and had a
Oh.
relationship with and who are believers. So,
Yes.
Brock, what do you think happened? Those people, actually, it was one of the wives of one of those people, DM'd me and said, "Hey, I know you're a fan, but don't you see what you're doing?" And you know, I thought my outrage was never directed at a specific person. It was just directed at the team, which I feel like is
Right.
justified. Still to this day, I feel like I can justify outrage for my team more than I would people. I don't call out people anymore, especially people I know. But
Yes.
that moment really reminded me, okay, remember when you post something, there are a lot of people that could potentially see this. So you'll know this, Brock. Very rarely, if you follow me on social media now, do I ever post about my teams. Very
It's true.
rarely,
It's true.
because I don't, and I used to post about them all the time. That's why you know this, because we've been friends for probably more than a decade
Yes.
on social media. I don't post anymore because I don't want to come across as someone who's just hating, you know, and trust me, just because I don't post about it doesn't mean I'm not screaming it in my house. I'm just keeping it
Yes.
in my house. And I
Yes.
don't know if you've seen that too, but you know, I guess it's different for you because you're broadcasting every single morning and you are paid to have opinions on these teams. So sometimes you're going to upset people. And I know our friend Jerry Madelon always said, criticize the performance, not the performer. And
Yeah.
so, but still, navigating relationships for you, I have to imagine it's a little different because
Well,
you're paid to
yeah.
be
Yeah,
criticizing these people.
you know, it's interesting that this conversation kind of ended here and led us here because
Yeah.
it is so time of the essence. It's so the Lord, right? And
Yep.
I'm sure you have seen this over many of your podcasts, looking back, going, wow, that was so, again, a divine appointment. Like that was
100%.
just set apart.
Yeah.
So just within the last few weeks, Jason, I had an interaction that was one of the most uncomfortable, probably I'd say 15, 16 years of television and radio on one hand, a very uncomfortable, just chastisement, emotional outrage, someone getting really, really upset with me. And this one, yeah, I could kind of feel it brewing over the course of the interview and such. And we go off the air and it was, wow, I did not. Wow. To a point where I'm like, I am not offended. I'm not offended by that. I'm not a victim at any time. I get it. As you said, I'm paid to ask questions and sometimes, they're hard questions and but it was very upset. And so we finish and I'm trying to navigate the conversation and trying to discern all these fun words, right? With my co-host and producer and ultimately my bosses and one of my bosses who I've known for 17 years started as an intern initially on our show, and he's now the program director, was
Sure.
chatting. He said, that this person on the other end of that, I don't think he understands that you're a relationship guy, and that this isn't going to just end with that, that there's not going to just be this exchange. So in some ways, this story encapsulates everything that we've just talked about for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I said, I have got to talk to him off the air. Like, I've got to get his number. And this just isn't going to be one of those that the next time I see him and we're going to chat with him inevitably, that we just pretend that never happened. And you go right to that conversation. And if you are a relationship and if you are disciplined and you are walking and you're trying to pursue these things, then, it was a no-brainer for me. Like, yeah, it's going to be hard. And there were parts of it that I totally owned because I didn't have as much context as I should have. I didn't have, and some of the background that I maybe could have and certainly been more sensitive to.
Sure.
And I'll tell you what, man, it was a half hour and it was so healthy. And it got done and it's like, that's how grown adults should be able to do this. Right? I mean, that really is how, even through fandom and passion and all this other stuff.
Yes.
But through authenticity and through relationship, that's how you should do it. And eventually, you know, what was it first? Like this just punch and this like, oh, I hate that that happened. Ends up being at the end of it pretty darn fruitful and a step relationally very much in the right direction.
And that's Christ-like, I think, too, just to throw it towards you, Brock. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do when there's something going on. You're supposed to reach out. And that's how I think I'm convicted that way, too, even if it's social media, not real sure. person one-on-one. When somebody's upset, I really want to check my heart and say, okay, what did I say to upset yep. someone else? If they're upset because I posted scripture, I honestly don't care. Like, that's your own deal. Yep. That's not mine. But if you're yep. upset because I criticized someone or I said something that was wrong or offended you, I want to find out why too and try to figure out how can we talk through this and see if that's what I said and how can I apologize? Be the first to apologize if need be, but try to relationally work through that. So I think that's a good place to end, Mr. Heward. I think we need to do this again. Certainly not wait 6 more years to have another conversation like this, but you know, I love you and I always appreciate you and your encouragement. And I appreciate you coming back on the show. Thanks, buddy.
Anytime. I love this platform. I know everybody that comes on usually probably ends it with something similar to that, or when they tweet it through the social media channels, but keep doing it, brother. Keep on, you know, being light in darkness and in this culture, because as you said at the start of this, it's amazing, you know, it's become a little more comfortable. People are willing to absorb it. And this culture needs his kingdom. There's no question about it.
That was Brock Heward from Fox Sports. If you're watching college football this weekend, look for Brock Heward on the broadcasting call for Fox Sports College Football. And just appreciate him. He's the best. He really is. I've gotten to spend time at his house and hang out with his family. And Brock is the same on the air as he is off the air. You can sense that there is a calmness about him, a joy, a peace that is very similar to the guy that he played for, Coach Tony Dungy. And that's why Brock Heward can come on this show anytime he wants. Make sure you go listen to his podcast, Above and Beyond. If you haven't listened at all ever to his show, it's very similar to this show. Brock is a fantastic interviewer. I think he's way better than I'm ever going to want to be as a broadcaster. And he has some great guests on his show. A lot of big names and people you will be familiar with. Certainly some big names in the Seattle area, because that's where Brock grew up and that's where he played a little bit with the Seahawks, and certainly is still a very prominent voice in the Seattle area doing morning radio there, Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN in Seattle. So I appreciate Brock. Make sure you listen to his podcast, Above and Beyond, and we'll hopefully have him back on again sometime very soon. We thank you as well for tuning in. I hope you liked the conversation we had today and the different topics that we hit on. If you did like this podcast, please consider sharing this on your social media feeds or to your friends and family. Maybe text them. Let them know about the Sports Spectrum podcast. Let them know about the ministry of Sports Spectrum as we continue to try and provide clean, faith-filled, Jesus-centered, sports-related content. And that's what we'll always strive to do and point people to Christ. That's the goal. That's the reason we do this, is because of Jesus and what he's done for us. You can go to our website, sportsspectrum.com, to find all of our content. And again, please do tune in next time for another conversation similar to this one with Brock Heward here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you soon.